Jude 17. Okay, just for the Smith, what we do is we started 15 minutes earlier with a prayer. So we'd love to have you in the prayer meeting. This is not a prayer meeting for the individual. It's a corporate prayer for the church ministries. So when you come, however, if you feel led to pray out loud, please do so. Okay? All right. Thank you. We hear many people predict that we are living in the last days. How many of you guys agree with that? And I don't think we are naysayers, because by looking at what's going on around the world, we are literally, we are living in the last days. There's a fancy word for the doctrine of the last day prophecy, is what they call is eschatology. It's one of those words you will hear often, but it's not something we would use during normal conversation. Eschatology is regarding the last day prophecy, especially coming from Daniel, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, Jeremiah also, and mostly Jude and 2 Peter and Revelation. It's about, by the way, some of you guys know that we are going on the cruise, and at the cruise we are going to study the book of Revelation, and I will make the CDs be available for once we come back. The computer in Daniel and all these Old Testament prophecies, especially Daniel and Ezekiel, you will find mentioned that in the latter days the man's knowledge will be so much increased that they will go to and fro. Come to think of it, it's very much understandable. In 1960, do you know the exact year when the man landed on the moon with Apollo 11? 69. 69? Good. Who was the first person who landed on the moon? Neil Armstrong. Okay. The computer they used has a less capability than what I have on my belt, this palm. This has more capability than entire NASA computer. And if you have a Windows XP at your home, I'm sorry, but that's still better than the NASA computer they use. Just a little jab.
The Mac broke Sunday.
Yeah, because I break it. We are living in the last days. And let's go to Luke 21, please. Luke 21, 36. Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. Underline watch, and the word that I should ask you to underline is pray always. What do we need to watch for? What do we need to pray for? Jesus said that we need to keep our eyes on who? Himself, Jesus. That's something. Sound effect of what?
Is the cat for red?
Anyway, we need to keep our eyes on the Redeemer, Savior, because He's coming. He's coming like a thief in the night. And we need to pray that we would not fall away from His word. is particular people who always hang around with the non-Christian and the playing game with the God, are they the only one who is going to fall away? No. In my opinion, all of us are capable to fall away. We're going to talk more about that deterioration. How can we fall away from the Word of God when we come to Bible study, when we come to church service on Sunday morning? Very easy. We can come to Sunday morning service and Bible study every time church opens the door, but still fall away. I've seen many people. As a matter of fact, there was emails been going on back and forth among the pastors. Good friend of ours, James Flanders from Florida, he asked, his nephew is starting to attend the church in, I forgot the name of the church, in San Francisco. And he asked, do you know anything about this church? So, Glide Church. So, Glide what? Sleep and Glide. Anyway, I checked Glide Church in the Google search engine and find out it's United Methodist Church. Out of the 10 United Methodist Church, you can pretty much count on that there are 9 of them is liberal. And then there is, of course, several pastors respond to him, and I was reading the emails, and they said that they are ultra-liberal, and they will go by with just about anyone who gives money. And don't they go have a church service? Yes. Don't they have a Bible study? Probably they do. But yet, they are not concerned about the Word of God and Jesus Christ. The only one they don't care to have is a real Christian. Hey, Mark, we're going to just do the study first, and then we're going to worship later. So, having a devotion with God every morning, every evening, if you choose to do it evening, it is extremely important. That's one way to stay in the Word. And consider that as a pit stop for the spiritual Indy 500. If you don't have a personal devotion of your own, other than the Bible study and Sunday morning service, you are cheating yourself. Yes? Glide. In my opinion, they are not worth anything to look around. They have a nice radio website. That's about it. Verse 17 of Jude. Before we go there, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that guide us and lead us to the path is right way and your way. Let us not fall for the deception of evil, but let us be strengthened by the true word of God in understanding your heart and be like you, your Son, our Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be, number one, markers in the last time. Number two, who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Number three, these are sensual persons. Number four, who cause divisions. Number five, not having spirit. In my opinion, from 1 through 4 is all concluded in number five. Not having the Spirit. That's why they have this kind of problem. The letter written by Jude, this epistle Jude, if I'm understanding correctly, is written between 60 and 65 A.D. I do believe that he was very much influenced by Peter and Paul. Not by Mary, but just Peter and Paul. You didn't get that? Okay.
That's before my time.
Ooh. The reason why I said it is that you can jot this down. We're going to go into a Second Peter chapter 2. We're going to read that. And also First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Let's go there. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. I don't think anybody will buy this story. First Timothy chapter 4, 1. First Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirit and doctrine of demons. See, this is the main point. That is, they are not from human. They are not from God. They are deceived spirit. They are the demonic doctrine. And the speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with hard iron. What do I mean? What does the Bible mean? That having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That means this tells me our conscience cannot be trusted. You hear me? Our conscience cannot be trusted. So some people ask me, how do you know when I tell them God spoke to my heart? And how do you know God is speaking to you? All I can say is I just know is His voice. I know my mother's voice. I know my daughter's voice. I know my wife's voice. I know Jack's voice. You cannot forget that voice. Yeah. So we all have a different voice. So some people, when they call me, they start to talk. And I'm desperately thinking, who are you in my heart? And usually by the time they finish it, the first sentence is like, oh yeah. Because they think that we know their voice, or we most of the time we know their voice. We are thinking the conscience is the God's voice. No, it's not. Conscience can be justified by what we want. So we cannot trust our conscience. What can we trust? The Word. If our conscience says something, put it against the Word, please. You cannot go against the Word. And if you go by the Word of God, you cannot go wrong. So let's go on. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from the food, that cannot be right, right? No abstinence from food. Which are created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused. If, here's a reason for, one of the reasons for our prayer before the meal. If it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. In other words, if we get to eat not always gourmet meal, if it's something we have to eat in less place, it's not so quite good, and we ask for, we pray for the thanksgiving before the meal and ask God to touch the food, you can eat it. I had the food that is less desirable, and I was fine. And as long as we are thankful for the food, I'm not asking you to eat rotten food to test God. That's not what I'm saying. But if you have a food that is not quite desirable and that's the only thing you have to eat, ask God to cleanse it. Trust me, He will. Since the apostle told us and warned us about this apostate, we have to understand that they are subtle and a slick tactic. And I asked you to underline five things in the previous passage, and verse 17 and 9 through 19 of Jude. Let's go back there. I asked you to underline the markers in the last time. Markers, who are these markers? They are the apostate. Who are the apostate? Just to jog your memory, those who left the faith in Christ Jesus. And they will do anything to drag other people down with them, with a cynical jab. And they challenge the authority of God. And they challenge the Word of God. Okay, Word of God, let's make this very clear. Word of God is inerrant. In other words, there's no error. And Word of God is absolute truth. Whether we like it or not, that's not negotiable. If anyone says, well, there's many interpretation. First Peter says, prophecy does not belong to the private interpretation. And also Revelation and other area of the Bible says, if anyone tries to take it out from the Word of God and add into the Word of God, let them be eternally cursed. And Apostle Paul clearly said to us, if anyone teach you other than gospel I taught, whether they are angels or even me, let them be totally condemned. I think it's very clear that we are not supposed to twist the Word of God, we are not supposed to add the Word of God into the Word of God or delete. But the mockers do that, scoffers do that. Second thing I asked you on the line was who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Corrupt theology, let's understand this. Corrupt theology always decay into the corrupt morale. Corrupt theology always decay into the corrupt morale. What do I mean? When we have a wrong theology, it tends to bring the wrong morale. How many of you guys noticed that the Mormon has more than one wife? You know, traditional Mormonism. Why? Because it appealed to their essential desires. Their corrupted doctrine brings corrupted moral. Did the gods create Adam and Eve and Stephanie and Ginger and all those people? No. Adam and Eve. Just two. Not somebody else. And you might ask, what about the people who, the King David had the 300 wives? I say, he's an idiot to have that many more wives. He wants to, maybe he wants to watch a cat fight. And Solomon had 700 concubines, and, or is it 700 wives and 300 concubines or something like that.
He couldn't keep track either.
Yeah, he needed a spreadsheet. Just to get the name right. So anyone who, that's not from God's desire. But they choose to do so. Wrong, the corrupted theology decays into corrupt more. There's no buts about it. Once they cut loose the anchor that we hold on to, which is Word of God, the rest of them is easy to. And it will go by the wind of doctrines. You know, the ship can stay in one place if they have a good anchor. That's the Word of God. By the way, if it's the anchor, original anchor has that shape, what? Cross. So this can dig in, and this is a cross. That's how we can anchor into the Word of God. Once they cut loose that anchor, it will go any way they direct. All right, I asked you, and the third one is these are essential persons. See, somehow these markers thinking that they are exception, they are above average, they are elite. Not only that they have a superior spirituality over the general public, and they are not bound by the restriction that of the other people. And they think they are above the church leaders. So they think they will, just like Jack said, they have their worldly desire to direct them however they want to do. And their sin does not stop there, but they're trying to encourage other people to get into their camp. Fourth thing that I actually underline is the cause divisions. Because of their elite mentality, and they start to write, and then they cause other people to stumble. You know, you guys remember the scene in 2 Samuel, Absalom, son of King David. He was, according to Bible, he's very beautiful from the head to toe. There's not a blemish on his body. He had a long hair, and he was a very charming prince. And the gate of the Jerusalem wall, and he was telling people that my father cannot see you because he doesn't have a time. But if I were king, I would see you. What he did, he was winning those people's heart and redirecting people's heart from the King David to themselves. Mockers are like that. Scoffers are like that. Instead of following the chain of command and the authority in the church and authority, following the heavenly authority to the Father in heaven, they do their own ways. And these are the people who write a letter to the pastor without signing them. By the way, if you do that, I'll just pitch to the trash can. So I won't read it. If you want to talk to me, come talk to me directly. It works much better that way. If I'm doing wrong, come talk to me directly. Fifth thing, this is the result, not the reason is not having the spirit. This is the reason why they have a worldly mindedness, and they are not, they are, as a matter of fact, they are fake Christians. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Are you guys with me so far? Did I lose you? Mm-hmm. Are you awake, John? Huh? 2 Peter chapter 2, please. We'll go to the verse 18. Verse 18 of the second chapter. For when speak a great swelling word of emptiness, they allude through the lust of the flesh, through the lewdness, and the ones who have actually escaped from those who lived in error. While they promise them the liberty, they themselves are the slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Here's a major emphasis. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, in other words, salvation, than having known to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, dog return to its own vomit. And washed and her own wallowing in the mire. If you want to look for that particular verse from the proverb, dog return to vomit, is Proverbs 26:11. And another one, the having washed and wallowing into the mire. Can you imagine? I've seen some of the TV series, one of the reported pig with the pink ribbons and the tutu around their waist. As soon as they release the pig, guess where they go? Right back to the pigsty. They like to stay in the pigsty. Not with a tutu on. That's from the Syrian story, the Ahikar, whatever that is. Obviously, that's familiar with Peter and his readers. I actually take a look at it. It's better for them to not to have known the way of knowledge, the righteousness. God bless you. Then before, not knowing is better than walking away from God. See, in my opinion, this is in the business world, there's such a thing as a supply and demand. Everybody understand that, right? Somebody demands something, so we have to supply them. I think this applies in the spiritual world too. What do I mean? The reason why there's a false teachers and the people who tickle the people's ears is because there's a demand for it. They want to hear that kind of thing. When they have they call it a crusade or the healing ministry, people cannot walk into the door fast enough. And the pastor can take a chicken bucket the past several times during that meeting that people put the money into it. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 4. Second Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you don't trust me, just let's look at this verse. 2 Timothy, I cannot make up my mind. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. If you have a question, stop me anytime, please. Time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ear away from the truth, be turned aside to fable. But you, be watchful for in all things, endure afflictions, do the works of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. You all heard this one time or another about the faith ministry. Faith ministry says, claim it, then you'll get it. Anything you want, God is obligated to give it to you. No, He's not. If that's the case, who is God? We are. God is not God. God is lucky. Not more than lucky in heaven. And we have audacity to say that kind of thing. Now, I'm not a macho football fan. My idea of watching football is to give me the highlight. I don't want to watch the entire, how many hours? 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours? 4 hours? Is that average? 3 hours? I don't want to sit and watch the entire game. So far, 22 years in the United States, I only watched one game entire from start to finish. Anyway, you know, just ignore it, don't worry about it. Whenever I see these football players and the size, you know, it shows what kinds of height, what kinds of weight they have. Average 300 pounds for the defense end or the offense end or whatever you call it. And the average height is 6'2 to 4 or 5'6. And if I stand next to him, probably I look like a booger on the tree trunk. And it cannot be compared with those guys' size. Can you imagine? Excuse me. Say you are the running back, and I'm the running back. And quarterbacks give you the ball, and you start to run and try to pass through those guys. In no time, those guys will be on top of you. You will be on the bottom of that. I don't think I want to be on the bottom of the 300-pound guys piling up on me. Besides, they don't drop on me gently. They literally jump on me. So I don't want to do that kind of thing. But however, let's say, think about the Jerry Rice. He's still running around. He's even 40 years old. Let's say he runs back side as wide receiver and then quarterback through the ball. That's not frontal attack. It's going on. What am I going with this? Satan tried to destroy the first century church, frontal attack, by using brutal woman. The persecution did not quench the fire of the love for Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it became a small fire and spread out like a gang. What I'm saying is, persecution never hurt the church. You heard this before, but it's the worst. Persecution cleansed the church. That's why I'm praying for the persecution against American Christian America. Because if your life and my life depends on it, we're not going to pretend that we are Christian. I heard this somebody, so I'm going to steal from them. I'm going to use the same way. If persecution started right now, think they have enough evidence in your life to put you in jail for the rest of your life? Think about it. Can they find enough evidence in your life to charge you against their own social law? If not, maybe it's time to think about it. You don't have enough evidence as a coming to a church to Bible study doesn't mean a thing. Church, if that's the case, church might be saved a long time ago. Can they find enough evidence against us to persecute? Deterioration does not start certainly. Our front yard and backyard does not get filled with thorn and weeds overnight. So we have a word, they grow like weeds. Yes, weeds grow fast. But still, it takes time to have a yard of weeds. We let it go, and it will start to happen gradually. Erosion does not happen overnight. Erosion happens in the time after time, it hit the back, and it starts to collapse the wall. So once we start a little bit of the psychic area, more and more will be taken by the devil. Devil is smart enough to, instead of attacking us frontal, the first century church, instead of frontal attack, he went around. What did he do? He added his false doctrine mixed with the true doctrine. Any false adding to the true doctrine is what? False. Even how 0.5% false. Either 100% or false. They might claim that it is from the Jesus. No, it doesn't matter. If it's what I said, if new, it's not true. True, it's not new. Essentially, these people are spiritual. They are fake. As the word said, they do not have a spirit. That's the bottom line. So how the church can go on without these kinds of people? How can we do that? Remember at the beginning when we prayed, we need to be on guard because spiritual attack is heavily all of a sudden. I said to the board members, I had to pray for our church, and I'm helping one of them from California, and he asked me, how much is it going to cost me? So I said, it's going to cost you. He said, how much? You need to pray for us. Our fellowship is being attacked. I'm going to ask you to pray hard. God is allowing this to happen. Why? It's growing pain. Last 8 months, we don't have any trouble. All of a sudden, we are having major problem within the fellowship. People get sicker, or some case, and their families attacked, and the people's individual attacked. Please be aware, they will divide. If the frontal attack, in my opinion, this is nothing more than frontal attack. If it didn't work, they will try first. That's his typical thing. He will start with the frontal attack. If that doesn't work, he will come around sideways. He will try to debate church. Remember the word? It says to eat elephant. How do you eat the elephant? Yeah. So if One person taken out, another person taken out, dividing church. That's why the fellowship is so important. That's why I encourage you, do not bail out when we finish Bible study or the Sunday morning study, Sunday morning service. Hang on, get to know each other. And then, if there's anything I can pray for you. Okay? Not only to each other, to the newcomers. And you might say, that's the pastor's job. That's why you get paid. What to do? That's everybody's job. You guys have been coming here enough to know that. Instead of bailing out so quickly, ask if there's anything I can pray for you. Guess what? You will be the one who's going to be blessed. Guaranteed. Let's make one application. How do we get the Holy Spirit's wisdom and guidance and anointing the word? Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Let God speak to us. Luke 11, 13. Jesus has a way to communicate to us. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So how do we get the anointing from the Holy Spirit? How do we get the wisdom from the Holy Spirit? Ask. Ask in faith. How often? Often. As often as we need. And the Holy Spirit will be upon us. He will empower us, and baptism of the Holy Spirit will happen. Okay? Any questions? Everybody got it? Yeah.
You said many invitations, and you said read one to what?
Chapter where? I forgot.